Brewery, brought to you by Roughnecks Cars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me as two guys that were as equally shocked as me that we beat Chattanooga at home. Is Mr. Matt Myers and Shanier Duran the second. What's going on, guys?
Doing good. Doing good.
Elliot, speak for yourself. Go back, listen last week. I said that's a winnable game. I said they're not bulletproof by any means.
Okay. We'll go back and listen.
Believe in your boys.
We believe in them. It was just that matter of shockness. Like, oh my God, we really did. But no, nah, I mean,
I think I'm less shocked that we beat Chattanooga and more shocked that we won two in a row. To be honest with you, because it's kinda been a long time since we've done that.
Kind of shocked, bro. I mean, yeah, definitely. It's been a while since we won two back to back. First time we've done it this year, and that was a point that Darren was making in his post conference speech about just, you know, having that positive momentum of winning two back to back games, getting over the hump of Chattanooga. Avon talked about it. Amy talked about this is something they really wanted to do because they haven't beat them in the last five attempts. But definitely that first game of this year where nothing looked to be going right in that first half and, you know, score first and we gave them two super late goals. You know, I think this is a big momentum swing for us. We definitely get the win.
I mean, it was definitely big. Much less because of every other result, you know, kind of not really going the perfect way, but, you know, just to be able to build confidence, you know, build momentum. The job's not done. You still need to, you know, be able to rack some more. If they can, you know, do it, you know, another set of back-to-backs, then we're talking right now. You know, got a two-game week. You know, pull off, another set of back-to-back wins this week, and it'll be a happy time next time we talk.
It will be. The tone of this podcast might be a lot different depending on how these next two games go. But let's focus on this game here. First and foremost, the biggest omission in this lineup was Zaka Moran. He was out because of yellow card accumulation. Definitely in the role that he plays, he's going to get a lot of yellow cards. But Victor Flack came into his spot. Guys, how do you think Victor did in the Zaka role?
I think he did okay. He had some questionable moments, but apart from a few questionable moments, I think he held his own. Of course, he was not as commanding in the midfield as Zaka is, but you know, he did a job. He held his own, in my opinion.
Yeah, we know he can play that spot because he played there pretty much all of last year. He's a different kind of guy in that spot than Zaka. Zaka's going to cover every inch of ground possible, and you don't really notice or appreciate that until he's not there, and then you realize, oh, crap, you know, they got a guy open over here, and it feels different. Oh, that's usually because Zaka's over there nice and, you know, quickly to be able to take care of business. So they're different kinds of players in that role. It's also his first game in, what, well over a month? I think the last time he played was before the Greenville game. I can't remember who that was right before that. So, you know, coming straight back into the team, you know, getting put into that role that he hasn't really played all year. Was he perfect? No. I mean, he had one pretty bad error that thankfully the post, you know, came to his rescue on. But other than that, perfectly solid.
Yeah, most definitely. Guys, I kind of want to break this game up, maybe not into first half, second half, maybe into like
minute by minute. That's a lot, man.
Not minute by minute, but I mean, let's look at it at fourths. Because the first 20 minutes of this game, the Kickers were under pressure, under gun. And it, for those who watched the first Chattanooga game, it kind of had the same sense of that. Chattanooga had chances very early on, and you can kind of just feel like the Kickers were just kind of waiting in those moments, you know, what were the kickers trying to do in those first 20 minutes? They're trying to negate Chattanooga.
I think part of it is Chattanooga was good. Yeah, they were able to, you know, pass the ball around. I mean, they looked like a, you know, top team in this league, you know, possibly even a very good team, you know, in a league, you know, a level up. You know, even just the way they were able to, you know, connect, you know, the way they, you know, were, you know, moving off the ball to be able to, you know, find the space. You know, they were picking up a lot of, you know, loose second balls, where, you know, they, like, they knew exactly where, you know, the clearance was going to come to, and they would pick up the loose ball and be able to recycle, you know, possession and, you know, keep it going, you know, keep, you know, the foot on the accelerator. So I don't know if it's as much as, you know, what the kickers weren't doing, as I think sometimes you have to give the other team credit and say that they were being, minus the finishing, being very effective.
Mm-hmm. Shanair, anything from you, my man?
Yeah, not too much different from what Matt said. It just, there was a lot of possession with Chattanooga, and they were, you see they had ideas. They were creating some dangerous chances. But one thing that I did notice that I was relieved at was basically our back line was almost like a wall. And they were just, you know, running through our front line, running through our midfield, and then our back line would just stop them on a lot of chances. Normally I'm not a big fan of that, because we've seen that a lot. We've seen that a lot with this Kickers team and Kickers teams in the past, where we have a solid defense that's just holding it off, but how long can they hold it off for? And I think there was a period, because I mean, you brought up the whole fact that you're going with the first 20 minutes. There was a period in the first half where we kind of were able to shift that and kind of go push onto the attack, which in turn gave our back line a little bit of a breather in order to recharge and be prepared for the next wave, which was a lot better than what we usually see, where it's just basically a point of, it's only a matter of time before that back line is going to crack.
Yeah, and Frischneck, the big, you know, center forward that they had, he was getting into spaces. He was finding his, you know, gaps between center backs and outside backs. He was pretty dangerous, you know, throughout. I mean, again, finishing, you know, probably had more field goals than shots on target where he bothered Akira. But you know, he was definitely a handful, especially for that first 20-25 minutes or so that we're talking about right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it really seemed like they were making a concerted effort to really get the ball up top to the striker. Because I remember, I want to say it was like a good 20-30 minute stretch where he was really just locked up with Avon. Like, every time he would go, he would line up right beside Avon, and they would try to launch the ball over to him. I guess really just test the physical toughness of Avon and see if, whether or not they could beat him down. And Avon held up his own. We're going to talk about the center back partner later on that I'm pretty sure he had to put an ice pack on his head because he headed everything out of that area. But, Shanair, you made the point about the next – you know, kind of the end of the first half, it seemed like the kickers were kind of taking more control of the game. You know, the stats might not look like it, like they were, you know, being prime Barcelona and whatnot, but he kind of slowed down the game. And I think a key part of that is Neil. He seemed to be able to pick up the ball in certain pockets and be able to distribute and not get caught on the ball a whole lot, which you saw him do in some games. But in this game, he really showed his worth.
I think this Neil definitely played a big role in turning that around. But another thing that did, I feel, was this was a formation game. We came out with our typical 4-3-3, and Chattanooga came out with a 4-5-1. Now, usually when you get this situation of the 4-5-1 where you have five in the midfield, and in this case, Chattanooga is dominating in the midfield because they have five options in there that can literally just move the ball around that midfield. Most teams will tend to drop their wingers back to match that five in the midfield. And I think it was a smart move for Darren not to allow Ethan and Bolaños to drop back too far, because to a certain extent, our defense was handling, weathering the storm well enough. Now, if we had dropped those wingers back into the midfield to create a 5v5, there's no way we'd be able to then push on to the attack. Now, with those three up front, now Vignal has options, because those three are maintaining their position up front rather than dropping back to try and help out in the midfield, to put out fires in the midfield.
Yeah. So I think that's a good point. Yeah. So I've got one specific moment I think, you know, might be a little bit of the turning point, especially of the half, if not, you know, the game. So safe to say probably the first, 25, 30 minutes or so, mostly down in the, Chattanooga end, right? Sound about right?
Yeah.
So one of the things we've talked about time and time again on this podcast, Emiliano Terzaghi, obviously his goals, we'll talk about that later on, but one of the things that he really brings to the team is that ability to be able to collect the ball, in his own, right on the edge of his own defensive, third or so, hold it and be able to get himself fouled. Right. Mm-hmm. And, 29th minute, he gets that ball and he gets the, living crap hacked out of him by Ramos. The point where you could see, other kickers players asking the referee for a red card, on that one. Emi stayed down for a little bit. I mean, he always stays down for a little bit. Let's be real. But
you got to milk the clock a little bit. You just got to milk it a little bit.
Absolutely. But you think about that. That started to really get the game a lot more outwardly physical. This match had 11 yellow cards. That was the first one of the game in the 29th, minute. And I think that ended up playing more to our advantage, because our guys are not afraid to get a little grimy, mix it up a little bit. And Chattanooga clearly likes to play a little bit more of a stylistic game. I mean, they're not afraid of getting roughing it up a little bit, but I think their bread and butter is when they can be able to ping the ball around more so than get into a rock fight.
Yeah.
So I think that helped to turn the tide a bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, like, historically, like, it's been the other way around. We've been the ones trying to be, the pretty ones trying to be make all these elaborate passes. They've been the ones to kind of, like, punch you in the mouth and be physical with you. So to see that switch and change, and also, like, if you watch Chattanooga games up to this point, this is a very uncharacteristic game for them, because they normally don't get as flustered as they did. A lot of the yellow cards they had were a lot of frustration fouls, like, I can't close this guy down, or I can't get to this ball here, so I'm just going to foul. And that's what it seemed like a lot of it was,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there were
quite a few of those. There were some what I would call professional fouls. There were several opportunities where we're winning the ball at the edge of our third, and it looks like we have a breakaway, and they'll, that's when you take one for the team and you commit that foul to prevent the counterattack. And I think there were a couple of those that Chattanooga players just had to take. They had to take that yellow card. They had to commit that foul to prevent us from catching them on the counter. But I know we're going 20-minute increments, but it just takes me to literally the last 20 minutes of the game. It was complete chaos. Like, Chattanooga completely lost the plot. They completely lost control. And you could see they were just hacking kickers players down left and right. And you could see that it was frustration fouls. I was like, they just completely lost control. They lost it. And I don't know if you remember, I texted you then. I was like, they lost control. It's done.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's not be mistaken, though. I mean, the kickers definitely committed more fouls than Chattanooga did. It was 20-14, in fouls. And, there was a stretch in the game. I turned to Elliot. I was like, they have to stop fouling these guys. Because there was one stretch where they probably gave up, four free kicks, within, easy service distance of the goal within about 4 minutes. Just nonstop, kept on fouling. So, again, overall, I think it really played into the kickers' hands, because we'll talk about a little bit just how dominant they were in the air. Other opportunities, but I think the physical game, whether that was a game plan or whether they realized that they could get under Chattanooga's skin ended up working.
Yeah, it did. It did. Real quick, before we move on to the second half, guys, when I believe it was Neil, when he crossed the ball and Bolaños just jumped up and almost headed it, I mean, he did head it, but it went barely over the crossbar. At that moment when Bolaños headed it, did you think he was going to score?
No.
No. No, because for me, it when he went up, I was like, oh, okay, come on. But as he was connecting with the ball, I was like, there's no way. Because when a cross like that comes in, mind you, that cross from Neil was nice. But I think Bolaños jumps a hair too late. And when you're meeting a ball in the air like that, you want to be heading the ball on your way down, not on your way up. And that's how you keep the ball down and not going over the crossbar. But, I mean, just that play all around was – to be honest with you, if Bolaños had put that in the back of the net, man.
Well, I just want to say this. I now will pick Bolaños from my 3-on-3 basketball team at the end of the year. So he'll be my starting guard just because of the hops.
Yeah, but no, he's definitely got ups.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big reason I didn't think he was going to score because I didn't think he had the capability to get to that ball.
He got there. I was like, oh. There, all right. Let me dunk
this down. He had good contact on it, just a foot high or so.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, moving on into the second half. What changes do you think Darren really implemented into the second half? Because what I personally saw is they kind of kept what he did in the second part of the first half was not sit back as much, but they kind of pushed up the field a little bit. It kind of forced Chattanooga's fullbacks to kind of be pinned in, not allowing them to get into our own half and create space, something that, Matt, you've talked about it 1,000 times, something the Kickers are notoriously bad at, is that they kind of get really stuck into their own 18-yard box, get really tight, get really closed in, but when it's time to expand, it's really hard to do because everyone's sucked in. You can't just all of a sudden be like, all right, now go on the break.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it has been the change the last two games, moving Ethan Bryant out wide and moving Bolduc back in. It's not something I would have thought to do, but two games in a row now, we've seen Ethan be able to get out there in space. Gives him an opportunity to be able to come back in the midfield, support there. I think with a little bit more room around him than when he's in the center, and we know Matty's not afraid to get dirty in the middle there if he needs to. So. I think that's been one piece of the puzzle that has helped out on the attack, just getting guys into spots where they might be able to maximize their skills a little bit more.
Now, look, ever since Ethan Bryant has came into the team, I don't know what it's been, but the passing has improved tenfold. Like it is.
He's brought a bit of a jolt to the midfield, like a little electric charge to the midfield in terms of us being able to move that ball around the midfield a lot quicker and a lot more confidently. He's been a really, really good addition to the squad.
Yeah. Weird. Adding good players makes the team better.
Look, I'm just going to say this. I said a lot of things to Rob, but one of the things I did say was wherever his loan situation is, either extend it or buy him. Because kid is good. The kid is good.
The kid is quality. He's quality. He definitely is. There was a moment in the second half, I believe, early in the second half, where I think it was Chattanooga had a corner kick, and we kind of half clear it, and the ball just pops up and it comes right down at Ethan. He's right on the edge of our box. And the way he just brings that ball down and turns in the same movement, I was like, okay, this kid's quality. he's got confidence on the ball. He has confidence with his passes. I mean,
there's a reason he was USL Golden Boy. There a few seasons ago, when he was 16 playing for San Antonio before he made this little Belgian adventure and everything. He's he's got the talent. It's, you know, sometimes it takes a little time for all the pieces to come together, and you know, to be able to do that, you need to get games. And you know, I've said it before, I'm happy to have Richmond be the place for, you know, those big talents who maybe, you know, ran into an injury issue or ran into a availability issue somewhere. You know, come be the place to get, you know, your second shot at, you know, life in pro soccer.
Right. Well, guys, also in the second half, we have a goal, which I don't know what happened, but I turned my back, and next thing I know, I see the lights going off. And I'm like, oh, we scored.
Why would you turn your back? Why would you turn your back right then?
So at that moment, me and Doug was joking on the substitutes. And I saw, I wasn't looking at the goal because it was a corner. So I was like, all right, I got time to come back. And I was like, you know, we're not going to make this off of the corner. And next thing I know, I look. And I just see the ball get rifled into the back of the net.
Well,
I was like, oh, snap.
Hold on. I need to explore this. Given how this team has gone this year, why would you not pay attention to a corner kick? Do you not remember the last goal we scored before this?
I wasn't at the stadium.
Literally, last kick of the game.
Yeah, on a corner kick. You know, Monty, two goals on a corner kick. I think Jalen, you know, had his goal slash own goal, whatever you want to, you know, credit it as in that Omaha game off of corner kick. This team scores on corner kicks. You got to pay attention, man.
Well, see, what happens when I don't pay attention, we score. When I pay attention, we don't. So maybe that's the cause. Maybe I just need to zone out.
That's a fair point.
See?
Anyway.
Anyway, back to the goal. I know we were talking about Victor. He's coming in for Zaka. I think Victor shows why he's a little bit different than Zaka, because I don't believe Zaka will make that initial pass in to Jalen for the header. I don't think Zaka makes that pass. Am I wrong? What do you guys think?
No, I agree with you. I don't think Zaka has that type of vision. But and the way Victor strokes his ball and puts that ball right on Jalen's head was a masterclass. And it the one touch too, like the first try, he didn't even settle the ball. He just comes to meet the ball, strikes it, and that's it. And that's again another example. Like literally, this is a situation where we literally have four players who literally prove everyone right of why they are such useful assets to the team. Bryant hanging on to that ball over near the corner has the wherewithal, and because I could see a lot of other Lakers players trying to get that cross in, trying to force that early cross. Mm-hmm. And Brian is patient, and he just drops it back to Victor with patience and control, waits for the defender to get in closer, drops it back to Victor. Victor with a beautiful cross, and then Jalen nods it down, and of course Terzaghi's fox in the box for Richmond always. with a beautiful volley,
man.
Let me stand up for my man Zaka here for a second. Great cross by Victor. We know Victor, you know, one of Victor's greatest assets is, you know, his, you know, crossing, you know, long his distance passing ability. Yeah. So I'm not gonna try and take anything away from him. There's a reason Zaka takes the corners, why he takes the free kicks and everything when he's in the game. It's because he can serve the ball, you know, pretty well. Would he have made that exact same pass in that exact same spot? Impossible to say, but. I think it's a little unfair on him to say, you know, he doesn't have, you know, good vision on the field.
Yeah, Shanae, that was mean.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that he doesn't have good vision on the field. What I'm saying is, like, for example, you're talking about corner kicks and free kicks. Those are set pieces. And I see more of Victor pinging long passes and finding those crosses in live action more so than Zaka does. You put Zaka on a free kick in that spot, and he could probably find Jalen's head as well. But in the flow of the game with just one touch, I don't know if that's Zaka's game. I don't know if that's his game.
Anyway, big ups to Chattanooga for deciding, hey, you know, I don't need to mark, you know, Emiliano Terzaghi, you know, 6 yards from goal. It's cool. you know, what could go wrong here?
That was weird because they had like what three people around Jalen, and Billy Emmy's just standing there like, "Oh, y'all really about to do this? Okay." Like they had three people around Jalen. Like
sizes. But, that's what they are. They're sizes.
Right. And so yeah.
But one thing is, their striker was, I think he was the one who was supposed to be marking Emmy. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his last name.
Frischnecht.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. You got it.
Yeah, he was one of the people that was supposed to be guarding.
He was marking.
Yeah, he was one of the three people that decided, Jalen.
As soon as that ball is heading towards Jalen, he completely turns his back on Emmy, and it's kind of like he's drawn to Jalen. Like he starts taking some steps towards Jalen as Jalen heads the ball, and Emmy just peels off of him.
I mean, aren't we all drawn to Jalen Chrysler a little bit?
Hey, I'm trying to make a case for my man being in the. He should have got an assist or either team of the week. You got to give me one or the other.
Oh, absolutely, team of the week. I mean, look, USL. Just admit you don't actually watch the games; you just look at the stat sheet because there is no way any sane person watched that game and thought that Jalen Chrysler was anything other than team of the week worthy.
The man had 9 headed saves by himself. 9.
I mean, that's gotta be low.
And the fact that we can sit there and saying like before we started recording, we looked at that, and the fact that we're sitting there is like that seems a bit low, based off my memory of the game. That's insane because 9 is already a crazy number, and it's insane that it feels like they might have missed a few.
Like I really hope Jalen's forehead is okay. Like his significant other put like a nice pack of ice for him to put on his forehead and whatnot. Because homeboy, he's smacking them things. Smacking.
Yeah, he definitely had a great number of clearances. But, you know, I think that in itself is an insane stat. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that he should definitely be on, you know, team of the week. Just off of that stat alone, just holding it down with crosses coming in, and he just stands tall and says, no, nothing's happening here. Practically every single step cross that came in.
Well, another thing, too. Oh, what were you about to say, Matt?
I suppose it's, you know, good time to mention. Congrats, Akir. Congrats, Emmy. Team of the week.
Yeah. And tripping it down.
Yeah. Yeah, Akira definitely had some really good saves. I definitely had my heart in my mouth at some points with some of those shots that came in, and he's, you know, Akira did his Akira thing.
Akira Fitzgerald.
Especially that save at the very end.
Yeah. Woo!
Shaneer, you see who the man of the match was?
Yes, I saw who the man of the match was.
You can't be mad about it for this one.
No, I can't. I can't be mad at Madden for this one because the rest of the team did hold their own. They performed. They did their due diligence, and they didn't leave Akira to do it all. I mean, Akira had some fantastic saves. I mean, Chattanooga were coming at us hard, and our defense held off a lot of it. But, you know, this one I can accept.
Before we talk about the end of the game, guys, how cool was it to see Devontae DeBoos not only come onto the field for 20 minutes, but also make his City Stadium debut? Darren talked about it in the post-game show about how it's been a rough almost 18 months for him. You know, he kind of made his comeback on the road, but he was still kind of struggling for fitness, waiting to get fully fit. He came out there. Really because Chattanooga was trying to take advantage of Calvo on that side, so they started overloading it. Devontae came on, and Darren noted that Chattanooga then made another sub to counter him. Coming on, because that's how well he was doing. Just real quick, how cool was it to see him come onto the field?
Oh, it was awesome. I had to take a double take. I was like, what? Is that Devontae? And the thing that surprised me the most is how dynamic, mobile, and confident he was out there in those 20 minutes. He was chasing everyone down, barking out instructions on that side. He definitely came on there and he was ready to play. It was great to see him out there and perform well.
Yeah, I think, obviously for him on a personal level, it's been, like you said, a long, 18 months, 2 years or so, recovering from injuries. He made that little cameo up in Toronto. I'm guessing that was probably earlier than he was really ready to play, but there's literally no other bodies available. So he probably took one for the team and, gave him a good 10 up there. But for the sake of the team too, he gives options, because let's be real. We've had Calvo back there. Luke does a job when he fills in back there, but he's not a right back by nature. It's not his instinctual position yet. So even just having a secondary option for Calvo, knowing that, hey, if he gets hurt, if he runs into cars or something, we're not in a bad spot. We're not having to play Ani out there because he's much better in the middle of the field. We're not having to move Luke or Maddie or whoever back to right back where they can do it, but it's not their optimal position. So I think just the depth it makes a huge difference. And he's got wheels, so it adds a little different dimension too. So if Darren decides he wants to be able to push up a little bit higher, Devontae can probably be able to cheat a little higher because he can erase a mistake or two with his speed, because that's something that backline doesn't necessarily have. I mean, love Jalen, love Yvonne, love Monty or Cole, whoever's playing left back most of the time. I wouldn't call any of them fast. Like, they're not slow, but they're not fast.
Fast.
Yeah.
But yes, I get your point.
I think, to be honest with you, that was last year, I think, from what we saw in the preseason before COVID, that was Darren's plan with Ian and Devontae as our fullbacks. The pace that those two had would have provided him with dangerous overlapping runs, good recovery when in transition. And I think with any with a back two of Vintner and Yvonne, if you had those two supporting them out wide, I think the team would have been so much more dynamic. And I think that is basically what Darren's original plan was for them. And I remember seeing that in one of the preseason games we saw at Newcroft Park. Just the sheer pace, the devastating pace that those two guys have, gave us a lot of different options, gave us so many different options in terms of the attack, in terms of transition. And having Devontae healthy and ready to play, I think we're going to see a little bit more of that original plan from Darren as things go forward.
Yeah. So definitely, man, just want to shout out a good friend of the podcast, Devontae, on coming back and being healthy. Guys, real quick, before we move on to the two games coming up, if you had to give kickers a grade on the last 10 minutes of the game, what grade would you give them?
I'll give them A-. It would have been higher, but Neil missed the empty net when he had that shot. And this is how I know I'm a beaten down and damaged sports fan. When I saw that ball go over the crossbar instead of into the goal, I was convinced that Chattanooga was going to score at that point. I'm absolutely certain that was going to, we're going to look back at that and be like, ugh. Yeah, so
that was the moment.
Other than that, I think they did a good, pretty good job of seeing it out. I mean, it helped that Chattanooga was down to 10 for those last 10 minutes since Ramos decided to you know, take a little, you know, bit of a, you know, shot at, you know, Akira and got caught, and then was like, wait, who, me? Yeah.
Yeah, the at first I didn't notice it. I was like, why is he getting a card? What did he do? And then I saw the replay and I was like, oh, you really tried that.
Yeah. So Jimmy, what's your grade? Oh yeah.
I would say a similar grade, A minus, between B plus and A minus. I mean there's not only Neil's chance that he missed, but Hernan, man, had an open net. Yes, it was from a very tight angle, but he had an open net and he just tapped it, and I was like, that would have been categorized as a hospital pass, let alone a shot. And I was like, ah. So again, like you, Matt, I just had that feeling like when that happened, I was like, oh, I know there's not a lot of time left, but that just was a bad omen, another bad omen. But they held in. They held in strong. Akira making some good claims in the air on crosses, and of course, Jalen just doing his thing. I think they were pretty solid in those last 10 minutes. They held their concentration, and they didn't just sit back and try and just clog up the 18 and hope they could block everything that came their way. They tried to push out. They tried to get the ball away from our third of the field and not having our defense get battered and battered and battered in the last 10 minutes, because that's how you end up conceding last-minute goals, when our defense is just literally punch drunk.
Yeah, not technically last 10 minutes, but good to see, you know, Luke Pavone also rejoin, you know, the team. He had been out for quite a while as well with injury, so, you know, seeing him come back on for the last, you know, 15 or so. You know, another option off the bench, you know, for Darren, which can only help with the very compact, you know, end-of-season run.
Yeah, it is definitely seemed like a different omen towards last year, where we started the year very healthy and very hurt. This year we started off very hurt. It seems like we're kind of healthy. So, I mean, that's good to see. Guys, we got two games this week. We got the Henry Army Part 3 Wednesday night, and we also have a game Sunday night against North Texas. You guys expect from these two games points-wise, and what are you guys looking to see in these two games to give us that last playoff push?
Yeah, I mean, these are probably, you know, two of the – I mean, there's only five games left, so it's hard, you know, saying, oh, these are probably some of the biggest games left. I mean, obviously, because there's only five left anyway. But, you know, North Texas, you know, we have a game in hand on them, but they're 2 points up on us, so you really don't want to, you know, blow that. But, you know, likewise, we're 2 points ahead of Madison, but they have a game in hand on us. You know, so there's not a lot of, you know, wiggle room. In a vacuum, you know, a draw could be fine for either one, but that's really starting to roll the dice a little bit. They somehow pull out two wins. They're not locked in, but they're looking pretty good on easy street, you know, coming up. So it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, Madison's always a close game. You know, it's always a one goal game, if not a draw. North Texas, they're a random team. It feels like, you know, you'll see them, you know, go out and, you know, dominate somebody good 1 week and then just, you know, no show, you know, the next for the most part. So it's hard to say, but they've been on a decent little, you know, run of form lately. If I recall correctly. Yeah. They've three straight without a loss. So, and going on the road, you know, that's been a challenge for this team, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. So certainly, you know, Wednesday, you know, try to clock the points at home, you know, really put a dagger into Madison, but, you know, severely injure them in terms of the table, not physically, although, I mean, got to do what you got to do. And then see what we can get out of Sunday. But, you know, can't look ahead to Sunday at this point. You know, if you're Darren, you got to put first team out there Wednesday, clock those points and then, you know, see what you got healthy for Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree. Shadir, what about you, man?
Yeah, I think Wednesday is doable. Wednesday, we can get 3 points there. We have some unfinished business with that pink team up north. And I think we have, with the momentum we have with 2 straight wins, we have that momentum and we can push forward. And we've got players creeping back into the roster, to the roster list from injury. And our game fit, are able to keep up with the game. We have options. I think that should be 4 points. That should be 3 points for us. North Texas, it's away. North Texas are on a good run of form as well right now. So I can see that being a 1 point game. I can see us getting a point out of that if we keep that momentum going. But at least 4 points in the next 2 games, I would hope for.
Yeah, if we win on Wednesday, I'm okay with a point on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. My fault. For me, I mean, Wednesday, I would like to see a formation of the 4-3-3, some kind of variation of that. Be a little bit more attacking, be a little bit more of the front foot in that game. Because, I mean, I think Madison is the same because I think both teams can be gotten in the midfield. I think it's just who commits to it more wins that game. Because I believe in our defense and I believe in Akira. I think for the Sunday game against North Texas, I think the biggest thing is you have to be a lot more defensive. Because North Texas can't exploit you in space. They do a very good job of that. You know, just go look at the Tucson Blast. I mean, this just happened. You know, they took advantage of the space that was granted to them because teams push up too high. In that North Texas game, I really like to see Zaka. You know, I really like to see Victor kind of be in that 4-2-3-1. I know Darren probably will not do it. But if he pulls out like a five-minute back, I'm totally fine with it. You know, just don't go out there and make the mistake to give North Texas the win, you know. But I mean, it's a possibility we could go out there and also sneak out a win, you know. So, but if we come out with 4 points, I'm good with it.
I don't know if we're going to be seeing 3 in the back. Until Devontae is probably more so ready for a full game, because in terms of a wing back, I think out of our outside defensive players, he's probably more suited to wing back than Calvo or Cole or Monty
are. Well, I don't think they probably aren't at all, but it would be cool to see.
I was going to say, we've watched, you know, Darren Swasey coach for 2 seasons now. He's not playing 3 in the back. He's not, you know, playing a 5-back formation. He likes his, you know, 4
in the back. His 4 in the back, yeah.
We know what he wants, you know, to do. He's not, you know, a mad scientist kind of coach where he's going to, you know, conjure up something, you know, really fancy to catch the other team off guard. He's going to, you know, trust in what his, you know, he believes in, trust in what, you know, he knows his guys can do. And I would be shocked. I'll you know, buy y'all your you know, drinks at, you know, whatever the next home game is that we'd all be at if, you know, we see him roll out 5 in the back any game the rest of the way this year.
I'm gonna find a meme where guys holding all the Uno cards and it's like draw 25 or do 5 in the back. I guarantee you Darren's drawing 25.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. As always, listeners, make sure you support the team. You know, 5 left. We don't got that many home games left. We got 2 home games left. The last home game is October 16th. After that, we're on the road
both
twice.
Both our home games against Forward are against the pink team. So, yeah.
Y'all aren't doing anything on a Wednesday night. Show up.
Yeah, exactly. Show up. Be out there. Be loud. Be proud. Guys, before we wrap up and get up out of here.
I mean, this is the time of year. This is why, you know, become a sports fan for these, you know, games where, you know, every little second feels like it matters. This is why you suffer through the bad years of recent times to be able to get the fun, get the elation of these last couple games, and get that little bit of endorphin fix of couple wins in a row, being able to really believe that the team's going to be able to do something. So show up on Wednesday, watch the game on Sunday while you're watching the U.S. national team game at the same time, because they overlap. That's cool. And then block your calendar out. You're not doing anything on the 16th. Get yourself out there, because let's be real, odds are probably the last home game of the year. Could get a home playoff game, but wouldn't bet on that one. So you got two chances. Turn up.
All right, Shanair, last thing for you, my man, before we roll up out of here.
Basically, there's literally 6 points between fifth place and 11th. There's only one team out of the 11 teams, out of the 12 teams in this league, only one team that has no hope of making the playoffs. It's tight. It's who knows what's going to happen from 1 week to the next. The positions change quicker than anything. This is the time to stick by your team. This is the time for us to make sure that this Kickers team gets maximum points, especially in the home game. And even the away game, watch the game, support the team. Watch parties happen. All will probably be happening for some of those last away games. Enjoy the end of this season. It's going to be a crazy one.
Troll Madison fans online this week. Wait, what? Sorry, didn't say that out loud.
I did. Troll them. Troll them all.
Yeah. one other thought. Hop online, vote for Emmy for goal of the week. Does he deserve it? Hell no. Should we vote for him anyway? Because he probably should have won other weeks when some dog crap goals won instead. Yes. So,
look, the league still owes us for Joey G, okay? So we are flooding the boxes.
They owe us so much for that.
Right. It doesn't matter that his goal is the clear third best of the three nominated. Vote for him anyway.
Yeah, this is also true. All right, y'all. As always, listen, we just want to say thank you guys for taking the time of your day for listening to us. You can find the podcast on any podcast apps that you listen to. That's Google Play, that's Stitcher, Apple Play, whatever it may be. You can also find the podcast on YouTube the next day. And you can find us on Facebook at River City 93. Also on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Has Facebook and Instagram come back up yet? I know they were shut down. Are they back up now?
Yeah, they're back up. You might not have noticed when you're putting out 50 tweets an hour, all afternoon. So
yeah, man, I was making it. Look, these jokes gotta come. These jokes gotta come. There's always listeners. What?
I was gonna say my man was on fire. Like, every thought a tweet. I logged on. I was actually, some of us were working during the day. I checked my phone. Elliot. All just like had to scroll like five times down to be able to find a tweet from anybody else.
But it also means you need to follow more people, sir. I'm sorry.
I do. That was the point.
As always, listeners, we just want to say thank y'all.